Hello and welcome to the Dancecast, where I explore dance as an art form, traveling to non-traditional places and with non-traditional doers. I'm your host and my name is Silva Lakkonen. Welcome to Dancecast and Happy New Year to everybody. There has been a long silence in Dancecast as we moved from Texas to New Mexico, and I started a new job at Keshet Dance and Center for the Arts in Albuquerque, New Mexico. It was a challenge to get everybody moved. We are finally starting to settle in, and I'm starting to make new podcasts for Dancecast, so that's exciting. So I am here at the Keshet Dance and Center for the Arts in Albuquerque, New Mexico, and I just took a position as their director of integrated dance. I'm excited for the change. I'm excited to be part of Keshet. It's an amazing organization which has been here for 21 years. And if you want to hear more about Keshet, I interviewed actually Shira, the founder and artistic director, while back. So you can go back on the archives and find Shira Greenberg's episode and listen more about all the things that Keshet does. I will be probably talking more about Keshet in general and interviewing some people in here. So look forward to those episodes. But this is an episode 21, and in this episode, I got an honor to speak with a friend and colleague from Finland for the first time. So, and her name is Maija Karhunen. She's a dancer and performer based in Helsinki. She works with choreographers and directors in Finland and Europe. She studied dance and choreography in Finland, the Netherlands, and Germany. Karhunen's interests lie in the all-encompassing performativity of the human, questions of power, intimacy, the personal and the grotesque. She works also in the field of dance writing and critique. This is Maija and I chatting. I hope you enjoy the episode. I'm so glad you're here listening to it. I cannot wait to share 2018 with you all.
Mitä?
Moi Maija.
Ota, nyt lähtikäs moi. Hauskaa.
Hauskaa,
sä oot siellä kaukana.
Ja sä oot siellä ihanassa Helsingissä.
Niin, joo, täällä on nyt ihan tosi paljon lunta ja täällä on ollut lakkopäivä tänään. Ja...
Oh. Well, we need to switch into English though.
Okay.
So, what you said, there is a strike today in Helsinki?
There is, yes. There was a big demonstration against like government policy and about some unemployment benefits that they are trying to reduce them. So, so there was a big strike and
yay no popular for the Finnish people striking against politicians. Hey,
so it was,
So Maija, you are a dancer from Finland. Mm-hmm. Started in Germany and now perform all around. So how did you start dancing?
Well, actually, I mean, I studied a bit in many places, but so Germany was, I was for a short while in the HCT, it's called like Hochschulübergreifendes Zentrum Tanz, but then I was also in Amsterdam for studying for a short while. And
at the School for New Dance Development?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
awesome.
Like just a short time of 6 months, but still very nice. And then also in Finland, I did this 1 year training when I was 20 years old, but it was very, I think, like, very important year for me because, yeah, it was in Eastern Finland. There is the Eastern Finland Sports Institute, and there is a training which was called that time, I don't know what it would be in English, but it was more about facilitating creative dance for different kinds of groups. But then now I guess it's called education in the dance and somatics. And but for me, it was very great because, yeah, just 1 year of dancing.
Oh my god, I didn't even know about that. Now I want to come to Finland to do that training.
Yeah, it's very nice. There is Malcolm Manning and Pia Lindi, who are the kind of the main teachers, at least were at that time.
Wait, but is it in Joensuu?
It's in Joensuu, but actually I'm not sure what is at the moment the situation of the school, because I think at some point they were in the risk of that it would need to be closed down anymore. Uh-huh. Yeah. But yeah, I don't actually know how it is at the moment, but wow.
Yeah. Okay. Both of those were my teachers in Finland. So
yeah.
That is so wonderful. Really? So you did that, like, I don't even know how old you are now, Maya.
I'm now 30.
Okay, so that was like 10 years ago.
Actually next year we have a 10-year anniversary with the group, and we're planning to do this like a big get together, and because we had a very nice class, and yeah, so. But I had been dancing before that also. Like, I think I started when I was maybe like, I don't know, 13, 14.
Because I feel like I met you for the first time. I mean, it must be more than, I've been in the US for 11 years. So it must have been like 15 years ago. Where did we meet? Did we meet in Helsinki?
I think we met, there was in the Full Moon Dance Festival.
Okay,
there was
I thought so.
Alito Alesis danceability course. And I think, yeah, he did it twice there. And I think you were there at least once.
Yeah, so I was assisting him for the first time.
Yeah, I remember. You were the one and only, like,
one and only danceability teacher, Finnish danceability teacher back then.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, I mean, then it got so much bigger here because there was, there's been, I think, two teacher trainings, and they started the whole Danceability Finland organization, and they have their own dance company, and they do so much work and like organize so many different things, and
yeah,
so it got so much bigger from just like, but yeah, the first workshop must have been
like something like 2005.
Yeah, I think so.
So, and then you just kept on studying dance, and now you are that. I mean, I see you all the time performing.
I had already started before that in this. I mean, I had started before that already, like in this, because I think it was just because my sister was dancing, like it was her hobby, and then because she's my big sister, so I wanted to do what she does. And but then it was not so easy to find like where to go, like because I was in a wheelchair, and like if you have a disability, then where can you go to dance like as a hobby? And but then my physiotherapist found this group like for disabled children and young people. And but then at 2005, when I was already 18, I was starting to get a bit old for that group. And then but then it was nice to go further, like to go to this Alito's workshops, just happened to be there at that time. And but then I was also, I wasn't thinking about a career in dance because I didn't think that could be possible. So I studied also in the university, like communication studies, because I was quite into writing and I wanted to be a journalist. And that was my dream, just what I was wanted to do. But then I kept on dancing a bit, and then it was actually Sally Davison, and she said that if I wanted to like to continue with dancing and go more into it, like I definitely could. So yeah, it was quite important to have someone who says that to you, like. And then we went together to this, exactly in this training in Joensuu. So Sally was also there, like we moved there together and then did this training. And yeah, but then after that I was in Amsterdam and Berlin, and then, but now I'm in Finland already since 2014 and living here now, like permanently, and working a lot.
Yeah, as a dancer, yeah. Right?
Yes, as a dancer. Yeah. Yeah, so and been, performer. And,
yeah. So you've been performing a lot with different choreographers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about your latest performance. That was with some German choreographer?
That was the choreographer is like, he's called Marc-Philippe Gabriel, and he's, we were like classmates together in the school in Berlin. So then the piece actually started already in 2013, and yeah, but then we've been showing it since then, like every now and then, and we had a lot of different versions also, that so the piece has changed really a lot, and we were very lucky to be able to show it in like in so many different contexts, so we always had like a bit of a chance to work on it. And and now we had some shows here in Finland, like in Zodiac, and then I think we are going to do two more in Berlin.
Oh, wow.
But then I think because it's already been 5 years, so then we are thinking that maybe we, because we are quite happy with somehow with it, and so then maybe we bring the tour
to an end.
Yeah, but it's very interesting piece. It's like it's a solo, and my friend, we were not hanging out that much at that time, and then he just approached me and he said that he would like to do a piece, and he would like to, that it's a solo for me, and that he would like to do a freak show. And then I was like, let's discuss that.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. And then, yeah, then we, yeah, then we just started to work and realized that obviously this starting point of a freak show is not so, so interesting, that it was more based on his assumptions of who I am. And but then that actually became exactly the thing that we started to work on, that's how we are always like socially making assumptions of each other, and we want to see somebody be or do something, but then that's actually a kind of an objectification of that person, and not necessarily has anything to do with who he or she truly is. But yeah, then we kind of worked on that, and it might have some elements of a freak show.
Okay. But
although we never did like research about what is a freak show, but I mean, it is really, it's a solo, and but it's like Mark is always saying that for him it's important that it's a show that empowers me and not a spectator who wants to see me in a certain way. But it's also in the piece that I am like, yeah, it's a lot about shifting all the time, like doing a lot of this kind of metamorphosis, like that I do this, but actually no, I do this, and like playing a lot with the expectation and the assumption of the audience, and then sometimes being very much myself, and been sometimes being an over theatrical character or this kind of thing. And then we have also in the piece, we have this part where I talk directly to the people, and they have given, before the show starts, they have given like objects, like a personal object that they just happen to have with them when they come to the theater. And then I do this kind of fake shamanic reading or fake fortune telling, like, so I'm kind of casting it back or projecting it back. But then, yeah,
I remember reading some critics about the piece, and the one thing was like that audience felt seen, and like the roles were sort of reversed, that watched them and they didn't watch you, and it was really interesting.
That's
I so love how somehow I often feel that in Europe work is much more political and much more about some sort of advocacy, whereas here it's really tried to keep separated. I don't know if anybody has any objective or different opinions about it, please send me an email and let's talk about it in a podcast. But it's so lovely to hear this, like a very sort of, you know, idea of a freak show, and then you're like, wait, let's think about this for a while. And there's also the other piece that you've been touring with. Isn't there some nudity in it?
This piece of Sanna Kekäläinen. She's a choreographer, and 2016 we performed a premiered this piece called Havet, Collage of Differences and Fragility. And Sanna works a lot with, and she has worked for years and years with nudity, and it's very much part of her work. And
how did you feel about that?
Was it
a difficult decision for you, or were you like, okay?
No, I mean, I had actually already before that, there was a piece called Epic Failing from Maija Hirvonen. And she, in this piece, I was also naked, but it was more like I just took the clothes off, and then I was just sitting there for a while with my back to the audience, and then I just put the clothes back on. So it was more an image and an act, in like that's very this kind of very simple thing. But then I think then I remember in the rehearsal, it was a bit like in the very first rehearsal where I had to take the clothes off, like that felt a bit like, okay, this is a bit like, or I don't know, it was somehow not so easy, but or it was like a going over some
comfort level. Yeah,
maybe. Yeah. But then actually when you take the clothes off, then you just feel, or I felt at least, like that it's okay, I'm just naked and it's not such a big deal. and then with Sanna, it's much more, I mean, it's like, because it's Sanna's work is very like, it's very, you move a lot, and so it's much more three-dimensional, like how you, when you go around and you, so you, every part is like visible. I don't know. It's also because, there is also somehow not having clothes on is also like, I don't know. It's, it's something quite interesting to work with, just like dance wise, like because just not having clothes already gives you a kind of certain kind of physicality. Then, because with Sanna we were rehearsing like a really long period, and like every rehearsal we are naked, so at some point you really don't like pay any attention to that, and then when the audience comes, it also doesn't feel like a very big difference, that because you've done it already
so many times
in so many months, that it's like, yeah.
What do you find the biggest challenges to being a dancer with a disability touring around? What is your biggest challenge? Is it like the traveling, the spaces, the thoughts, the expectations? What do you think that they are?
Well, I think yes, like the practicalities can sometimes be like quite difficult, that it's like just when you go to, I don't know, to a residency or like a performance place or a festival or whatever, then you always have to think about this like practical things in advance, and that can be there's always something a bit extra for me, I think, to arrange, and sometimes have to be dependent of others and stuff. People have, of course, when I'm performing, then often people, I have the feeling that they might have some, I mean, obviously some preconceptions about disability, and then what does that mean when you see a disabled person on stage, and it provokes a lot of things, like when people see things what they want to see also, and so this kind of dealing with all the projections that are there is like sometimes feels quite intense, like and then you also don't know, like sometimes, okay, like I mean sometimes I can also have prejudice towards me, like that maybe sometimes I think that somebody says something because of the disability and it's actually not, or that I can also start to interpret people in this way. I don't know if this makes any sense.
Yeah, no, but... it does for sure. But do you feel like the atmosphere in Europe in general is very open, or do you still feel like it's something very new? Like, what do you feel like? Because I'm wondering, the idea for me being here for so long, I feel like Europe is so much ahead. But then when I came this summer and worked in Germany and UK and studied, I actually was like, wait, is it? So now I have a great chance to ask you as a performer, how do you feel that the field is in Europe? Like, is this still like something, oh my gosh, inspirational, I have never seen anything like this? Or is it more like, oh, yes, of course, everybody can dance?
You mean that you felt that your thoughts about Europe changed, or about the US?
No, thoughts of Europe, like, I thought that they are very much ahead, but then... I don't know. Then when I was there this summer, I mean, UK, I do think is very much ahead still in like disability art in general. It's much more the norm than the what is the word?
Like exception.
Exception. Thank
like,
you.
I don't know.
Yeah. But when you travel and perform, do you feel like you're still the first person that these people see with a disability on a stage? Or do you feel like this is something that they have seen before?
I mean, I think there are some people in addition to me who are doing it also.
There are a lot. Like, I feel like there is. Yeah. That's my always thought. I feel like there is so much more dancers with disabilities, for example, in Europe that work professionally.
But yeah, I mean, maybe at the moment there is also a little bit this hype in this way that, like, a lot of minorities are now, like, given a very special attention and, like, that it's very much in the air, all these issues, and which is great. But then sometimes it's this problem that you never can, I'm not sure if there ever can be an ideal situation, or maybe in some time needs to pass. But for example, yeah, like some of us, a few other disabled dancer or choreographers who work in Europe, like we also talk about this, like, cripple bonus. That it's also something that gives you a bit this special attention, like you could say in a positive way, but it's also like, I mean, why should my work be any more special than anybody else's? Or like, but that's what it's sometimes given this, like, that for example, there was in Berlin, now there's this one production house, and they said that actually now at the moment we really want to program disabled dancers and choreographers, and there aren't that many, so could you come? Like, so I think it's also a bit funny when people say that, that's like, that why should it be
only
more interesting or special, or, and there is also some special funding for that, and so it puzzles me, this things that maybe there comes this moment when there is this very special attention and a lot of, like, resources also suddenly, and but then maybe at some point the true equality
happens. So you don't know how you really feel about this special attention right now.
I mean, it
has its good and bad sides, right?
Exactly. Yeah, that it's, I guess it's kind of, but it's also maybe needed, like, in society. But then when it is like a personal thing also for you, then it can feel very strange, like, because I never started to dance because, like, for me it was never so much about to do with disability.
Yeah.
And then just because I happen to be a disabled person, then I have to deal with all these things. So, but that was never a reason why I want to show, or that I want to.
Yeah, like, you were just a young girl who wanted to go and take a dance class, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And then, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting. It's interesting.
Yeah, this positive discrimination in a way. Yeah, because you don't know what to
positive think discrimination about. That is a good one.
Yeah.
So what is your next project? What are you planning to do next?
Well, I have maybe this year, like, one premiere that I will have is it's with a musician based in Berlin. She's called Planning to Rock. Mm. It's her artist name. And then there is a choreographer called Jan Kahler. and dramaturg called Maija Zimmermann. And then they are doing it together, like a piece called Powerhouse. So it's going to be premiered in Berlin in a club called Berghain, which is quite a famous club. So we have some like club environment. So I think it, and also the forum is going to be more like a performance concert, I guess. But we haven't started the work actually, or I haven't been at the rehearsals yet. But yeah, the like this Planning to Rock, she deals with some political issues like these days in a very direct way. So she's been dealing a lot with gender issues, and yeah, that. Yeah, transgender and this kind of gender play and gender identity. And then this time, the Powerhouse piece, it's going to be because she has a, I think, a brother or no, a sister who is autistic, and she's originally from the UK. And in the UK, I guess that they are very much cutting all the support for disabled people, I guess, at the moment, like that the political situation is very difficult. And then she wants to do a very sort of a piece that kind of directly goes into these issues. And for me, it's very interesting because I don't always deal with these things so directly, like that's yeah, maybe more. I think this is going to be like super direct piece in this way, so it will be interesting. But very like, yeah, we want to work a lot with comedy, like okay. With humor, so also I'm quite interested in how to deal this with this kind of topics with a sense of humor, or yeah, what can it mean then? Yeah,
so that means you're going to be traveling a lot between Finland and Germany.
Yeah, we have the rehearsals in Leipzig, and then we have the premiere in September in Berlin, and yeah.
So is there a thing, Maija, that you dream that you could still do? Or what is your ultimate dancer, choreographer dream?
Oh, no. Yeah. It's quite difficult to say. Because
you don't want to say it, or...
No, I mean, it's not so clear in my head. It's a very good question, but I guess it always feels nice when you yeah, when you can kind of feel that you are developing all the time. That's like if you look back, then okay, like 1 year ago, I was like that, and I feel like I already learned so much and gained so many insights like in that time. So maybe that kind of inspirational feeling and growth can continue, and then becoming like more and more strong, maybe in the like some kind of professional identity, or like yeah, or and personal identity also, like yeah, becoming more strong and yeah, and find a way maybe to like because now I've been working really a lot in the last couple of years,
yeah.
and like how to find all these balances between like how much can you produce and how much do you need to just rest and learning to rest, and this kind of things are quite important for me at the moment. But I don't know if I can say like a big dream, like, or if I can say something so concrete, but
no, but those are beautiful. I mean, those are so beautiful things that we should all be thinking about all the time.
Yeah, but they are, I mean, it's good to remember, maybe. I don't think about it all the time, but
yeah. But like, I love the idea of looking back and being like really proud of the progress that you have done as a human being and professional. Like, that's a really good thing to remember.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that you are always like, I always feel like, oh, I was kind of a different person then. And so maybe that means there is also something, a lot of things to find still. Yeah.
That's super nice. We need to get you to come and perform in the US. That's my dream.
Yeah, would be wonderful. That could be also one of my dreams. Yeah. And lots of travel. I always like it. So.
Oh, you do like to travel?
I do like it. Yeah, I do really, because, yeah, I mean, sometimes can be like tough, but it's like somehow in my, if I don't get out of Finland in every few months, I go a bit crazy. So I think it's part of my horoscope is Aries, so it likes new adventures. So I think every now and then I have to have my next new adventure.